I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, we hope you have a happy holiday and that you are back to listening to us on a Monday through Friday basis, or this week because of the holiday, a Wednesday through Friday basis. Either way, we're here after a 102-91 win over the Charlotte Hornets. A game where the Celtics led by 20 at one point and blew almost all of it. But the key there, almost all of it. Not all of it, because they held on to win. Big games from Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum did things that made it move tonight. Terry Rozier had a big game. We're going to talk about it all. And it's all brought to us today by MyBookie. You throw a few bucks that you got on Christmas, if you are one of those who likes to go place a bet on a game here or there, then you can use mybookie.ag. We'll talk to you more about how to do that and get a little bit of a bonus by using MyBookie. You can throw some of that holiday money in there and maybe make it work for you. So, first things first on this game, I am just happy to come back and vent. I mean, not vent. My head's, I don't know what, I'm so used to venting that I don't know what it's like to gush anymore. And I want to gush about Jason Tatum, who just turned in one of his more aggressive performances. And I was very happy to see him, especially in the first half, towards the end of the first quarter, where he really got aggressive and was looking for his shot. In fact, one of my favorite things, and this is weird, one of my favorite things to happen was the 3-second call on Daniel Theis, because he was waiting there in the lane waiting for Tatum to shoot it, and Tatum was still cooking out there. And I was okay with that, Sam, because it was one of those instances where we've been waiting for Tatum to get aggressive and look for his shot, and to catch a guy in the lane like that, I felt like, hey, if Tatum's being aggressive and once in a while costs us like that, that's fine. At least he's being aggressive.
Yeah, the Tatum question is something that I've been trying to figure out recently. Is like, we have all want Tatum to be aggressive. We don't want him to like kind of lose his efficiency and just take bad shots. And I think the key to tonight was Tatum was very aggressive off the catch. His first move was to the basket, and you're right, that stretch of play towards the end of the first quarter, I think he scored 6 straight points in a row, but he had that one move with his some nice fancily dribbling at the elbow, and then he went across the basket to finish with the other hand. Just generally attacking the basket more was a welcome sight. And then he also hit you with the fadeaway sometimes when the attack didn't work. He was just phenomenal tonight, still using his length to get rebounds. I still don't have a good metaphor to describe how long he is. I tried Parsec tonight. I tried the Ice Age. But that play where he tiptoed along the baseline as well and finished with the reverse, my Lord. He's just a very good basketball player. And it's also nice to see the Celtics get a win. Even though they played such a shitty third quarter, it didn't result in them losing the basketball game. I feel like they're definitely in a stretch of inconsistency where they haven't put together a 48-minute performance, and a 48-minute performance is one of like my favorite NBA cliches, but it's very true. The Celtics have not played a complete game, it feels like, in the entire month of December. So, yes, it was fun to see them in the first half hit 61% of their threes. That was kind of wild. You kind of knew the third quarter was coming, but then they stepped it up and won that fourth quarter, which is important, and ended up outscoring the Hornets in the fourth quarter by 10 points. So, yeah, gush about Tatum all. It's fun to have that feeling again, you know?
I should take a moment here to apologize for if I sound hoarse or if you can tell that I've got a lozenge in my mouth. My throat is killing me, and you might hear some coughing. And because my head's not 100% here, I think I forgot to introduce Sam Packard. So
it's quite all right. The people should know who I am at this point, but I am Sam Jam Packard.
They should.
The third J.
The third J. Follow him on Twitter at Jam Packard. And I don't know how your draft teams are doing. I actually am doing all right in my draft. You had our
I had Al Horford on both my teams, and he went for 20-10. So I would hope they're doing well.
I had Allen Kyrie. I also had Gary Harris, who's not doing great. But I also have Anthony Davis. I felt like that was the Simpsons haunted, cursed monkey paw thing, where the I had Al Horford. That's good. But I had Lauri Markkanen. That's bad. But I had Anthony Davis. That's good. But I had Gary Harris. Well, that's bad. Anyway, I'm all over the goddamn place.
I like this. Your cold has made you loopy. It's going to be a weird podcast.
It's going to be like kind of crazy. Yeah, man. And I'm not even
going to be like that Kyrie commercial. Let's just like get a nice raining junkin moment in right now. How do you like that Kyrie shoe commercial?
I did a shot by shot breakdown on RedsArmy.com. I love that commercial so much. It's just you have that initial like, huh, is this going to be like a serious where Kyrie is looking at a first take type of thing, and they're saying whatever, like they're making comments about him, or and he's gonna have to go off and put on his Kyrie 4s and work hard and do that typical sneaker thing. And then all of a sudden, like record scratch. Nope, Gronk's in this commercial. It's gonna be a weird fun romp through whatever crazy.
Gronk's reading Sun Tzu. Like Gronk's is just there completely randomly, and then he's also reading Sun Tzu for no reason.
No reason. Yeah, it's gonna be So the Kyrie delve into the weirdness that is Kyrie's brain. I feel like that thing that he's got set up down there, that little half pipe and kind of carnival atmosphere, is kind of just.
Why are there octopuses there, though?
I think that's just his basement. I think that's just where he lives. And that's he sits there and he pays that dude to ride that half pipe for 10 hours a day while he goes down there and claps and laughs and giggles and points. And just the guy does it like it's a torture chamber for him. But
and he also has a symphony in his next room.
Right. The Boston Philharmonic just lives at Kyrie's house, and he goes down there with that little kid to cook. Now, I want to bring this up because I was kind of making fun of the whole thing. And, of course, Tatum has an awesome – since we're on the Tatum subject, he has an awesome cameo. The little kid where Kyrie says, that's my body double. Now, that kid, I've seen his YouTube videos. He's ridiculous handles. And I was like – what is that kid doing there? And I think Michael Malloy, regular listener, regular follower, made a comment on Red's Army that I think is brilliant. LeBron James keeps calling Kyrie kid. You think that little kid is a shot at LeBron?
Ho, ho, ho. I didn't until you just said it, my amigo. I'm down. I think it not a shot, a subtle reference. Kyrie's all about the subtle reference. I'm in. I buy it 100%.
I am completely in. I just want to say, Micah, that was just brilliant. In all of my loopiness, I couldn't get to that spot. I love that. I think that that's a reference to LeBron, and he got that kid in there because he keeps getting called kid by LeBron, and that's what that was.
The statement that that's his body double makes zero sense. They don't have the same body. It had to be in there for a reason.
Unless you throw the LeBron thing in there. Now, if you throw the LeBron thing in there, all of a sudden it makes total sense. It's a shot.
That's thinking outside the box. That's connecting the dots. I like that.
I love it. I buy that 100%. I'm all in on that. And I hope somehow this gets to LeBron. Because I don't know. People listen and somebody's going to tag LeBron in this and whatever. I hope it gets to him. I want him to know. I'm sure he already thinks about it because that is, look, we keep talking about how this team is not petty and the NBA is so petty. That is right there, like Kyrie level petty wars. Like just way down deep in the subconscious. Like you didn't realize it. It's almost like you dreamt it. And you're like, was that real? Did that really happen? Is that a Kyrie took it to a place that's just beyond our consciousness. I believe it. I believe it's a shot at LeBron somehow.
I would hope so. I mean, Kyrie's you're right. Jay King, during the Wizards game, Jay King was just demanding a brawl the entire time and wanted more pettiness. And that's Jay King. He needs to deal with his own kind of anger issues there because he was kind of going over the board. But you're right. This team lacks the kind of pettiness and feistiness of that we know and love in a good Celtics team, just in any good NBA team. So, yeah, even if that wasn't true, even if that's just us completely reading into it, let's make it happen. No, you know what? True. We have a bit of a platform here.
Absolutely.
That was definitively a fact about LeBron James. So absolutely. Says me.
I'm right there with you, 100%. You know, and look, there's a difference between Jay King's pettiness and Kyrie Irving's pettiness. Jay King's pettiness is like booping a guy in the nose. Like, he's just all about that direct, in-your-face.
Jay King plays checkers and Kyrie Irving plays 3D chess. I mean, let's be clear here.
Yeah. So that's okay. Back to the game. Back to the game. After I bring you this special word from our friends at MyBookie, because if I were placing a bet on that, I would bet that Kyrie was taking a shot at LeBron. And if it's the only thing that you can't find odds on MyBookie.ag, you know, with the holidays just passing, you've probably got a couple extra bucks in your pocket. Maybe, you know, your grandma threw you a 10 spot, which, you know, you're like, what's 10 bucks in this card? But you can throw that money and a couple other bucks onto mybookie.ag if you're interested in playing money lines, side bets, totals, spreads, everything. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. It offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. Look, we know it's hard to find a place to lay your money down, hard to find a place to trust. So if you go to MyBookie.ag, that's the place that we recommend because they are trustworthy. Go check them out. Your money's safe. It's very easy. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone very easy. It's a total breeze. So go to MyBookie, join now, and you get a deposit. They will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. It's 50. MyBookie.ag, you get an up to 50% bonus on your deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Use the promo code LOCKEDON on MyBookie.ag. They will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. Go to MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Celtics got paid by the three early. Al Horford was banging away from three early. Kyrie Irving banging away from three early. You look at the final stats, the Celtics were 15 of 34 with a very nice 44%. But that includes 61% from the first half and 25% for the second half and just 20% in the third quarter. That was a total goddamn disaster. But Al Horford played a very nice game early on. His first half numbers were especially good. 11 points on 3 of 3 shooting. Plus 16 in the first half with 5 rebounds. To go for an overall 20-11 on 8 of 11 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. Nice split, 72%, 67%. Didn't take a free throw, but that's okay. Blocked a shot. Overall, Horford played pretty well. And really, the second quarter where the Celtics really bucked the trend and had a very nice second quarter, I think Al Horford was a huge key in that. And I think we may have found a second quarter lineup moving forward that includes Al Horford along with some of these other guys. Horford, I think, is going to be the key to second quarters moving forward.
Yeah, we saw Smart go out with an injury and it kind of changed the rotation. But the second quarter, the offense was doing a really good job of getting into the paint and then creating three-point shots just by kind of collapsing the defense. And at one point, they were shooting 70% from three. They were knocking everything down. It's kind of an abnormal night, but players off the bench like Rozier. Shane Larkin had another nice night, nice energy. Yabu knocked down a three. It just felt like the offense was clicking in a way in which they were going, getting the ball inside, moving it side to side. And Al Horford was a big part of that just because – his ability to just set that pick for Kyrie and then just hang at the three-point line totally stretches out the defense and you saw just like Dwight Howard can't defend him out there and can't contest that. So if I feel like I want Al to have a quicker release on three pointers. He seems just kind of as patient as Jason Tatum. So I guess I should apply the same standard to them in that you just kind of trust them to take the shots they feel comfortable with. But I think Al being able to stretch out the defense, the C's being able to play five out, really makes their offense more dynamic. And so we saw it stretches where even there was some odd lineups with like Tice and Baines in there that I didn't think worked as well. I really think the Celtics don't play that well with two traditional bigs. But tonight in the second quarter, everything was working. And a lot of that started with just kind of action around Al Horford leading that second unit.
I want to dip into the Rain and Jace hashtag on Twitter. Robert Denton, NBA, pretend you are the Celtics. You just played your 12th game in 19 days. You are in North Carolina and have to take a plane back to Boston to play the Rockets tomorrow. You get home at maybe 1 a.m., get to bed at 2. You haven't practiced or rested 2-plus days before a game. And I bring that up because, holy shit, I mean, I keep bringing up the schedule. But to play the Wizards, go down to Charlotte, which is not a long flight, but still a flight, get down there, play this game, turn around, come back, have to play the goddamn Rockets tomorrow on national TV, that's just brutal, brutal, brutal. I'm glad that the Celtics finished this game off, but that third quarter, I think, was to be expected. That second quarter was so good, and I got that feeling at halftime. Like, I didn't like what the third quarter was going to be, which is why I tweeted that I was afraid of a letdown later. You ever have those days where you're just going, and then you're like, oh, man, I just need to sit down. I've been going forever. And as soon as you sit down, you're just like, I never want to get back up. Like, I feel like that's what halftime was for a lot of these guys. You just sit down, you just... The worst thing that happened to the Celtics tonight was halftime. They're better off just keep on going, keep on playing, and just let it all fall apart like the Blues Brothers car at the end of the movie. That they're just too busted. And now they're going to come back and gear up for, I believe it's a TNT game against the Rockets. I'm afraid of what tomorrow's going to bring. These guys are just running on fumes.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. It's a good reason. Good that they pulled out the victory and didn't completely botch it, because then you'd be going into that game against the Rockets with a loss. But the Rockets are pretty unstoppable right now, and they're playing elite defense. So it's going to be – it was very interesting to see the Celtics play against the Wizards. That felt like they were actually playing someone who's relatively near them on, like, just the talent level. And the Rockets are probably better than the Celtics at this point in the season, especially a banged-up Celtics. I don't think Jaylen Brown's going to play. It's unclear if Mook's going to play. It's going to be a tough game, but I always like seeing the Celtics up against the elite talent. And so it's going to be interesting to see if their defense can shut down James Harden, because they couldn't shut down Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker.
Oh, that Boston accent just kicked right in all of a sudden.
I normally do not have a Boston accent, but Kemba Walker.
Yeah,
he had a hell of a third quarter, dude.
Wow. That was crazy. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics arrest somebody, but then again, it is a TNT game, and they get in trouble if they do that. So maybe somebody's going to get a phantom thigh bruise or something, but that's going to be a tough one. I'm really not looking forward to that at all. But look, the Rockets are in a little bit of a skid. They're, you know, maybe they'll still be struggling a little bit. But we'll see what happens there. Also on the Reigning Jays hashtag, at Rookie Angler, the Hornets look like they should be a better team. Tons of high draft picks. What are they missing? Too young? Look, first thing that's wrong with the Hornets is they have Dwight Howard.
I was going to say, it's not what they're missing. It's what they have.
Yeah. I think having Dwight Howard on your team, I don't care. I don't care. That he had what did he have tonight? 17 rebounds, 12 and 17. And I tweeted out that it's time to stop paying Dwight Howard to play basketball. And I got a couple of responses. He's averaging like 15, 16 points and 12 rebounds or something like that, which Okay, fine. I feel like those are empty statistics, that the Charlotte Hornets are not really any better for having him on there. I mean, he's 12. They're 12-22 after tonight's game. What's he doing? If at some point, he's going to be a positive to the team, as opposed to like Marcus Smart, where Marcus Smart tonight didn't have, well, let's see, 5 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. And classic Marcus Smart performance, because I loved some of the things he was doing tonight, and he didn't score. As opposed to some of the games where he scored a lot of points, and I was like, I hate his game. I hate Marcus Smart's game. Tonight, he did a bunch of different things that were really great. Picking up loose balls, flying in for rebounds. If he had put down that putback dunk, holy shit, it would have been one of the most amazing dunks I've seen. But he at least kept the ball alive and extended a possession. He had that play where Al Horford drove late, and they highlighted it on a broadcast where Dwight Howard was coming down the lane and Smart just stopped and sealed him off. And Dwight Howard, that little interaction right there just highlights everything. What the hell is Marcus Smart doing stopping Dwight Howard cold in the lane? Like, at the very least, get a goddamn foul, Dwight Howard, by bowling Marcus Smart over. And I know it's Marcus Smart, but you're Dwight Howard. You're like, if you extended Marcus Smart out to be 7 feet tall, he should like look like Dwight Howard. But Dwight Howard's so soft that Marcus Smart puts a hip on him and he just stops cold. Like, that is perfect, a perfect example of how Marcus Smart does little things, those winning plays, and how Dwight Howard sucks. Just flat out sucks. Earlier in his career, Dwight Howard, fine, I'll give you that. The Orlando Dwight Howard, he was just a much different player. But this guy now, I'm just so sick of him and watching him. If I was a Hornets fan, goddamn, I'd be so pissed having him on my team. He just dribbled the ball straight out of bounds twice, trying to go up against Aaron Baines. And Aaron Baines, a brick goddamn wall. But again, Dwight Howard is just as fucking big. What are you doing? Like, how are you just getting bodied out of bounds? It's ridiculous.
It feels like Dwight Howard should just be a lot more effective with how broad his shoulders is than he actually is. And then, but just like having him on your team feels like it completely limits your like potential as a team, just as like how far he's going to teach you like in a series, but then also in a game, just like how good you can be. And like, if you notice the start, the game and the second half, like they just got him like shitty post-up looks just to try and keep him engaged. And you see him do these like one-on-one post-up moves against Baines and against Horford, and they're never very good. He never like finishes well or like elevates. He's just he's going to get his boards just because he's a giant man, and that's kind of what happens. We can see that with Tatum. Like, Tatum just lucks his way into some boards by being super long, but Howard just feels like he's a loser at this point. He is a loser. A grade A loser. And the Celtics own the Hornets. I think they said it on the broadcast. Like, they've won 6 straight in Charlotte, like 9 of the last 10. Adding Dwight Howard's not going to help them in that regard. It's just – and it was really fun when he came to Boston how much vitriol the fans still had for him. So, you know, it's fun to see Dwight Howard play the Celtics at this point. But I'm shocked that we've gone this far and haven't just gone on and on about how great Tito Rozier was tonight. This was his bounce back game.
That was going to be my next thing. I literally was going to say, in my head, I was saying, okay, that's enough about Dwight. Let's talk about Tito. And so let's do that. Terry Rozier, and I've been critical of Rozier. He's had his ups and downs. I think he has a tendency to play too fast. He doesn't play, I think, in control. But tonight Tonight was a very, very good game from Terry Rozier. The overall numbers, 15 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal, a couple of turnovers, not a big deal. Plus 7, which was a very nice game for him, just in 26 minutes. I would say It's pretty much exactly the type of game I would love to see from Rozier all the time. Obviously, shooting 50% from the field and 43% from three is awesome, but just the way he played, even if a couple of those shots didn't fall, the way he played tonight was just so great because he was much more in control, and I just think that he plays, like I said, too fast most of the time, and today he kept himself in check.
I thought he was flying around on defense, and that was where he made the majority of his impact. I thought he was really, to use a classic Brad phrase, got into the ball. He was active, got some turnovers. He was great on the fast break. He actually completed a lob to Jason Tatum, which is a Tito lob is a rare event around these parts. And then I just liked how aggressive he is shooting the three. I think it's very key to his game, his confidence in shooting that three, willingness to take the three. Forces the defense to close out on him. And some nights, like tonight, when the Celtics are just shooting lights out, he's going to be very good. And then I think the biggest part of his game is his just general improvement in attacking the basketball, finishing out on the rim. He had a crazy left-handed one that I can't exactly give him credit for because that felt like luck. But he had a very nice finger roll. I believe it was directly off a turnover. And that's just something the Terry Rozier of yesteryear wouldn't do. He really couldn't finish around the rim. And now we're seeing him dunking. Now we're seeing him kind of use different hands. So it felt like the exact kind of performance the Celtics are going to need if they want to win. Not from Rozier specifically, but they're going to need someone off the bench to step up and score more than 15 points or score in that 15 to 20 points range each night. As long as they're still banged up, like they're going to need to generate offense from someone. I don't know if there's one guy who's ready to do that consistently, but if it's Rozier, if it's the crazy Marcus Smart shooting night, we saw Tatum do it tonight. Maybe Marcus Morris when he gets back. It just feels like one of those players, I would say 4 through 7 on the roster, needs to give them offense if they're going to win basketball games.
We should be fair to Terry Tito because, look, he's now in his third year. He's only a third-year player. He's not even 24 years old yet. You look at his numbers, they're steadily going up. His true shooting percentage started out 32.5%, last year 46.5%, now 49, just over 49%. Not great, but improving. His defensive rebounding percentage is going up. His steal percentage is going up. His assist percentage dipping a little bit, but still, his numbers are increasing. If you are a believer in player efficiency rating, it's also going up. It's still below average, but making its way closer to the league average at the very least at just about 13. So, and tonight's game will certainly help increase that. So, Terry Rozier is still, we got to remember, a young player, a guy who is still getting used to new teammates, new role, increased role. So the ups and downs are not unexpected. And he was a later round draft pick. So he is, I don't know, maybe we might expect too much. Maybe I expect too much. But I think he's definitely playing better this year than he has in the past. And he's had more good games than he has in the past. And he's not lingering. I think in the past, he has kind of let bad performances linger. And this year, he's not. And that's to his credit. So moving forward, I don't know what kind of role he's going to play. I think there's a possibility that if the Celtics decide, like they have a number that they want to pay Marcus Smart. And if he is not, if Marcus Smart is offered more than that, and the Celtics have whatever number they have in mind, and they may be willing to pass on that and turn to Rozier and say, you're going to take that role. You're going to be the new Marcus Smart, which, I mean, he's just crazy enough to maybe pull it off, but he's not big enough, but he could be the guy that fills at least that role. And if his shooting can continue to improve and he can play more within himself, I think there might be a good opportunity to to fill that role, at least to some degree.
Yeah, he's definitely smart insurance. I mean, there's never going to be another Marcus Smart because no one has such thick combat muscles and can guard every position ever. But I think he facilitates that kind of backup point guard role that I think each team needs. So, yeah, he's playing good bat. When he plays well, it feels like the Celtics play well. And so it's not surprising that in their bounce back game and in the quarter, which they probably played like some of their best basketball this year, just because so many shots went in, he was really kind of the facilitator.
Back to the Ray and Jay's hashtag, Jeff Morris at Jeff Morris. Chances that Yabu is in a 9-man playoff rotation or an 8-man one? I would say the chances are pretty slim at this point, because he's the one guy that didn't play double-digit minutes tonight, and on a team that needed more minutes. I mean, maybe they purposely held him out to kind of help with tomorrow's game, but I don't know if Yabu, if everybody's healthy, if everybody is healthy, then your starters become, if they just keep these starters, Kyrie, it'd be Kyrie, Jalen, Baynes, Horford, Tatum, with Smart, Rozier, that's seven. They probably use Tice, depending on the matchup. That's eight. And Semi Ojeleye would be nine.
With Shane Larkin?
With some Shane Larkin mixed in break in case of emergency, if Rozier is somehow ineffective, if there's some sort of deficiency in scoring, Larkin would be the guy. You probably have to go pretty deep before you get to Gershon. He's probably 10th or 11th in the depth chart at this point. So I would say no.
No, I just don't think Gershon's there. As much fun as he is, as much energy as he plays with, I just don't think he has enough body control to play in the playoffs. Like, this first possession tonight, he was the first sub, which was wild. He just ran over three people and, like, knocked them down. Like, that's – I think he still makes mistakes on defense. He's still – I don't know if he's in the, like, perfect shape. I don't think he's a rotation player. I felt – I heard Bill Simmons and Kevin O'Connor talking on a podcast about Yabu, and he needs to get more minutes, and I thought they were insane. I respect both those guys, but Yabu's, like, I see the people calling for it on Twitter. Just because the man can dance – doesn't mean he deserves more minutes. Use me as a perfect example. Like, I can dab all I want. Doesn't mean you need me for more minutes each night. Yabu's not ready. I love Yabu minutes. I love when he's productive, but he's not making a 9-man rotation. I don't think that's a good sign if he's one of your top 9 players.
I'm going to give Zach, I think it's Zach, it's whatever. His Twitter handle is at, okay, it's a series of numbers and letters that combine to read Kitten Mittens, which I'm all for the Always Sunny reference, and all of the vowels are a series of numbers, but whatever. He says, give me all the Yabu. People love him. I'm disappointed that, you know, he hit a three, had an opportunity to do the arrow dab celebration. He didn't do it.
I strongly disagree, man. You can't do it every time. You can't keep going back to the well. That well is going to dry up. The moment did not call for the Yabu dab. And he knows it. He's a brand manager. You can't just hit him every time, then like lose its specialty. I was very proud of his ability to hold back and not immediately, because you know he hit that and then like made eye contact with Jaylen Brown and he wanted to hit him with the dab. But Yabu's grown up. He's maturing.
Okay. Why don't we use that as a transition to the junk drawer?
That was like 95% of my junk drawer, but. I didn't have that much tonight. I think I'm just going to use the junk drawer to talk about Aaron Baynes tonight. Just a feisty motherfucker who I think my favorite moment of the entire night was he set just a vicious pick on MCW, who I have a real irrational hatred for that I can't place, and put MCW in the ground. And I was just immediately like, oh, just excited for because he knocked knocked MCW down. And then Larkin made a very difficult like left-handed layup, which I think I fist pumped for. But Aaron Baynes was just a wall. Someone texted me tonight after they heard Tommy said that, and they just were shocked to hear him describe that way. I was like, no, Aaron Baines is definitely a wall. He is a tough man, and he is killer from the mid-range, and he attempted a corner three. One of these days, Aaron Baines is going to knock down one of those corner threes. I've seen him warm up before the games. I've seen him hit it. If he starts knocking down the corner three, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'll go insane. It'll be amazing.
That would be fun. I'm going to look and see how many three-pointers he's made in his career. One. He made one, and he was in San Antonio. In fact, he has attempted five with the Celtics this year. He had, coming in, seven his entire career. So it was 1 for 7 his career coming into the season. He's already attempted five for the Celtics. Yeah, one of those days that's going to fall. The best part about that pick that he set on MCW was that for probably 15 seconds, he was hanging with Larkin. Larkin was going off on a dribbling ISO. Like, he just, the entire possession was Larkin dribbling. And then all of a sudden he just came to the middle and Baines was standing there. And MCW hit him, spun, went to the ground, flipped ass over tea kettle. It was just great. To watch a guy on the other team try to defend like that and stick with your guy, like, geez, he's actually playing good defense. Oh, he got dropped, son. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see.
Also, Baines tonight, he continued the streak of not caring. Everyone just tries to dunk their hardest on him. And Marvin Williams had one of the weakest attempts ever. I don't even think he caught rim. But Baines does not make business decisions. He makes life decisions, and he's tough, and he's going to contest the dunk every single time. That's awesome. And he showed a little finesse. He had some great an interior bounce pass to Al Horford, and you know I'm a big fan of big-to-big bounce passing in the interior.
It's one of my favorite things.
It has to be. That's pretty much all my junk drawer. I just have some notes that are like, ha-ha-ha, Dwight Howard's an idiot. Ha-ha-ha, Dwight Howard paint touches are funny. Ha ha ha, Dwight Howard long too. But it's a running theme. Oh, and the last thing, we haven't even really mentioned him tonight, but sometimes you just gotta let Kyrie Irving chuck, man. Like, he's not gonna take the best shots, but that's Kyrie Irving. That's how he's gonna score. And he made some shots tonight. I was like, that was a dumb shot, but you know what? That's you gotta let Kyrie chuck. Like, that's just kind of, I feel like, the mindset you have to be as a Celtics fan.
Yeah, sometimes guys like that need to just keep shooting to find their groove. Not the best shooting night for him, 42% overall, but 43% from three. So, you know, that's sometimes Kyrie's going to Kyrie, and sometimes that's not going to be the most efficient stuff. You're right. Sometimes you just got to let him chuck, and he's going to he's having the best shooting month of his career. So I'm not going to slam him for one kind of not great shooting night. I really do believe that once everybody's back and healthy in a few practices and everybody's just kind of rested, that we're going to go back to seeing a lot more of the stuff that we saw earlier this season and less of the Kyrie just chucking indiscriminately. I think he's kind of falling back into some old habits, but that'll get cleaned up when some practices are actually had. The first practice in a month and a half, I think, is coming up on Saturday. So,
oh, Brad's so excited.
He is so pumped for that, more than anything. All right, I'm pumped to end the show. Luckily, my voice held out. So I'm going to take advantage of this and wrap things up. I want to thank our friends at mybookie.ag. If you are interested in sports betting, then you can go to mybookie.ag with the promo code LOCKEDON. They will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. The Celtics win. They played, they won, they got paid. 102-91. They're on to the Rockets Thursday night national televised game. I'm going to hope for the best, and maybe the Celtics can pull out a little bit of a miracle against a really good team on a back-to-back at the end of a brutal, brutal, brutal schedule. So let's hope for that. Thanks for listening. If you are not a regular subscriber, please subscribe wherever you find your podcast. If you are a subscriber, you can rate us 5 stars, leave us a good review, share, tell your friends, tell everybody, let them know they should be listening to us. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.